Welcome. Thanks for joining us today on the Venture Podcast. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you along your journey.
Well, good morning, Venture. It's great to see everybody today. We are in this season post-Easter, before we're launching into a new series. We've got a couple weeks here. And so as I was just thinking about what I would speak on this weekend, maybe it's a season of life I'm in, but I think it's also a number of people I'm talking to, that God has you in a place, it's kind of a crossroads. Those places where he's asking you maybe to step out in a new way, or he put something in front of you that you've got a difficult choice in it. And I thought it would just be good this weekend to go back, and I've always loved Hebrews 11. I love it. It's the hall of fame of faith of men and women in Scripture that really trusted God. They stepped out by faith with God. And this weekend, we just want to look at that and look at one of the characters from it. Specifically, when you're in one of those places where, and maybe you're there right now, where you've kind of come to a crossroads, and you're not sure exactly what God has in front of you, but you know he's asking you to step out and trust him in it. I'm reminded when I was in high school, our church group, I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, our church group took some of the guys of the group, and one of the leaders, he had a connection for this cave that you could go through in Arkansas. We went a couple hours away, and it was this cave, it was on private property. It was known, but you had to have a guide who knew his way through. You could get lost in it. And this wasn't like, you know, a tourist cave. You went with ropes and everything. You literally had a guide, and you had to trust the guide. And once we started in, you're in there for several hours, and there's different times where like you're crawling and it gets tighter, and other times we'd have to climb. And I'll never forget, we came to one point, we're about an hour and a half in, and where we're going, it just came to a drop off, just like this, and you couldn't see in the dark how far it went. And this rock was sticking out, big boulder there. And so the guide turns around and he looks at us. He says, okay guys, you're gonna have to trust me here. What I need you to do, there's a handhold right here, up on the rock, reach for the handhold, and without hesitation, you've got to hold onto that and throw yourself out around this rock. And just trust, I'll be on the other side and I will grab you. And with that, he was gone. And so one of our leaders stepped forward, you know, he's trying to show us, yeah, we can do this. He did it, and then I saw another guy go, and then finally, you know, my turn, I get up there. What had looked so simple up to that point, once you get there, I mean, in that moment when I started to reach for it, there's everything in me, I started going, what do we know about this guide? I mean, for all we know, you know, he's a killer who kills people and throws their bodies into this fall off right here. You start getting crazy thoughts in the darkness and that. I had no choice though. And I still remember reaching up and in that moment, throwing myself out and then that feeling that hand grab my shirt and pull me around. And in that, you know, you're brought to a place and you have no choice but to trust, is this person telling me the truth? I think of that because often, if you follow Jesus very long, if you're a follower of God, he has a divine curriculum for each one of us. Our days are in his hands. And he actually charts a journey for us that he will bring you to places like that. He will bring you to crossroads. He'll bring you to places that you can't see around the bend. You don't know exactly what's next. And he asks you in those moments, will you trust him by faith? Hebrews 11, this Hall of Fame chapter on faith says it this way. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction. It's that gut level belief in things not seen. That God's called us by faith. And the thing about it is, it's not just putting faith in him, because many of us here, we go, yeah, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. We often think, oh man, once I've done that, it's done. The longer you walk with him, he actually wants to form that faith. He actually will test that faith. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is pointing out for us. He says, hey, you're in good company though. There are men and women that have trusted God in this way, and you can learn from them. In fact, today I want us to look at one couple, Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham is called the father of faith. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time when it comes to a lifetime of following like this. And what you see, though, it's not just Abraham. It's Abraham and his wife, Sarah. And the faith test that they went through. You know, we can do a whole sermon series on Abraham. I just want us to highlight out of this one chapter three ways that Abraham was tested. And you go all the way back. The first test is when God asked you to just step out by faith. If you know Abraham's story, he was originally called Abram. He lived in a city called Ur. And Ur was one of those major metropolises of the world. Very wealthy city, very developed city. In fact, the British Museum and archaeologists, they've gone and excavated the area of Ur. They think it was one of the first cities that had multi-story buildings. The architecture, the engineering there. They found two-story houses in Ur, one of the earliest in that time. Abraham's in Ur. He's 75 years old. He's wealthy. Lived a good life. He's established. And you think about it, you're kind of in the season of life when you want to become more comfortable, not less comfortable. It's just a natural propensity. And it says that God spoke to Abram. And let me remind you, at this time, there was no Bible. Moses had not written anything yet. There's no scripture at all. It said that Elohim spoke to Abram. Acts chapter 7 said God revealed his glory to Abram in a way that he really believed this is God. This is the true God. And when he spoke to Abram, he said, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to leave Ur. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave everything that you've known. And I'm gonna take you to a land of promise. I'm gonna give you a land. I'm gonna make you a great nation. But you gotta trust me. Now, to kind of put it in context for us even more, this was in a time in the world where you didn't have nations per se. Everything was city-states. And so the only form of government, your only protection was your city and the surrounding area of that city. Every city had their own army and their protection. So if you're a citizen of Ur, you're protected in Ur. The moment you leave the area of that city-state, you're on your own. And anyone, if they're stronger or mightier, they can take what is yours. And so the level of trust in stepping out like this is unbelievable. It says in Hebrews, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, look at this line, not knowing where he was going. It wasn't like God said, hey, I'm gonna call you out. Here, let me show you on Google Maps. All right, you're gonna take this journey, we're gonna go here, you'll get all this. No, he had none of that. Not knowing where he's going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land. Look at this line, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, those are the next two generations. Heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was looking forward to what only God could do. But in the journey, he lived in tents, and not just for a short period of time, because Isaac and Jacob, the next two generations, they did too. This is where Sarah comes in. Her faith is... Can you imagine when he walks in, he says, hey, Sarah, God spoke to me. And he said, we're to move. And I'm sure she's like, oh, that's exciting. I've had my eye on a two-story house. I am so glad to hear that God is telling you that. And he's like, no, we're actually gonna leave Ur. Where are we going? Well, I don't really know. What kind of house are we gonna live in? Here's the fun part. We're never gonna live in a house again for the rest of our lives. Permanent camping, yay! How many women here? You're like, sign me up, that sounds wonderful. We always get a few, there's some in every service. They're like, yeah, I love it. Most everybody else is like, whoa. They lived in tents. They trusted God in a lifetime of transience. And you look at that, and this is where I admire Sarah. It wasn't just a faith journey for Abraham alone. This is a faith journey as a couple. And I would encourage you, some of you as couples right now, you're at a place, and maybe God's been speaking to one of you, but it's impacting both of you. It's often how it shows up. And it can stretch your partnership and your belief, and it forces both of you together to go, is this really God? Is he really speaking in these ways? In a time of life, and I'm sure for Sarah, she's looking at it going, Abram, we're 75, we're older. Shouldn't we be slowing down instead of stepping out? Now, if that was the only test he had done, we would still put him in the Hall of Fame. He still would be there. That's only test one. Test number two, when God asks you to persevere in faith. It's not like God let him out of Ur and he said, hey, come on, let's go down to the land of promise. Let's get this. We'll solve it. It's going to be a tough couple of years, but we'll be done with it. No, it's now a lifetime of following God like this. And another core part of the promise, remember God came to him. He said, not just a land I'm going to give you, I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to have a child. You're going to have an heir. And through him, I'm going to have a nation that comes out of it. And so this promise of a baby. And I think for both Abraham and for Sarah, they're so excited because they've not been able to have children. They're older with this. God gives this promise and they're looking forward to the promise and they're trusting him and they're trusting him, trusting him. It's 25 years later before they have a baby. And somewhere along the way, man, the faith starts getting a little shaky. Even to the point that Sarah looks at Abraham, she says, look, come on, let's be realistic. This is not gonna happen through me. I've got a servant, Hagar. Why don't you sleep with her? You can have a baby through her. It'll be our child. We'll accomplish it that way. And Abraham listened to her and created in that between Isaac and Ishmael issues that the world still struggles with today. I don't blame her. I understand it. When you've gone that long and you've wanted something that much, we went through several years of infertility. There's few things that are harder as a couple. And you go year after year. 25 years later, the angels show up and they're talking to Abraham outside of his tent. And Sarah's listening and they said, hey, this time next year when we come back through, you're gonna have a baby. Sarah's gonna have a child. And Sarah hears it and laughs. Kind of a scoffing, yeah, right. And the angel hears and says, why is Sarah laughing? And she's like, oh, I wasn't laughing. Now, he calls her out on it. But again, I don't blame her. If you've gone that many years and you've gone through that much disappointment, at some point your heart, just to protect yourself, you start protecting, do I really believe that God's gonna show up in this way? Do I really trust like that? It says in Hebrews, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. And I love this line, since she considered him faithful who had promised. At some point, even though her initial reply was a laugh, at some point, a part of her heart said, okay, if God's promised this, I believe it. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead was born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And therefore, God delivered through this one. And I love, you know, Isaac, his name, in Hebrew, it means he laughed. Sarah initially laughed out of skepticism. But then God showed up and there was the laughter of a baby. They couldn't believe. But guys, it was a long journey to get there. See, we get to read one more verse or we get to read one more chapter. We kind of can skip ahead. In one devotion, we can go through their whole life. It's one thing to read it in one sitting. It's another thing to live it over years and decades. takes patience. Third test, when God asks you to sacrifice by faith. When God asks you to sacrifice, if you know the story, that child that they loved, Isaac, as he's grown up, he's a young man, and then God speaks again one day, and he says, Abraham, I want you to go up on Mount Moriah. I want you to take Isaac with you, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, again, let me just kind of go back in context. Abraham didn't have a Bible. It's not like he had a cross-reference. There's no church. There's no pastor he can go to and go, hey, am I hearing this right? God is speaking to him. And in that time, there were cultures all around them that child sacrifice was part of their religion. But Abram, he's stuck in this place because he's trusted God, and God's promised that through this child is going to come a nation. As you look at it, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. If you know the story, he went up to the mountain, had the altar, laid Isaac on it, raised the blade when God stopped him. Look at this line though. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. I love the faith because Abraham doesn't understand what God's doing. This is the child that you said through this child is gonna be this great nation, but this is also the same child you're asking me to sacrifice to you. And the only thing he could compute, if he's gonna know that God's true on both these things, is that if God's asked me to do this, then God will raise him from the dead. Man, that's incredible faith. Now we know in the story, God stopped him. God has never required any child to be sacrificed except his own. Jesus was sacrificed. God was willing to let his son go to a cross, so that no one has to pay like that. But in every one of these junctures, every one of these tests, man, I just find myself, as Abraham went through this whole journey, there's a reason he's the most mentioned person in this chapter on the Hall of Faith. In our Hall of Fame of Faith, he gets his own wing. As he and Sarah stepped out, they didn't do a perfect journey of faith. But over and over again, as God brought them to that place and brought them to the crossroads, they trusted him. They stepped out in it. And the reason the writer of Hebrews is writing this, by the way, is not so that we read the story and we just walk away and go, oh, I admire them so much. The reason he writes this chapter and all of these characters and these people, he writes about them not that we would admire them, that we would imitate them, that we would learn from them. And I got to believe in a room this size today, there are a lot of people that are at different crossroads. Maybe it's around your job. Maybe it's around a relationship. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's a season of life. Maybe it's something that God's called you to step out in a way in a time period when you thought you were going to ramp down, God's calling you to step up. And as you wrestle with it and you go, what do I do with this? Let me give you just a few lessons from Abraham's life that I take away. That even this week, and reading through it again and looking at it, going, okay, Lord, how do I respond in that way? The first one is take God at his word and act on it. Take him at his word and act on it. Where God has clearly spoken, where God has told, where God has written, where God has given to us, believe his word. But don't just believe it and study it and do devotions on it. Here's the key with Abraham and Sarah. They actually did something with it. They actually stepped out with it. And we have an advantage they didn't have. We have full written scripture. We've got God's declared thoughts on so many subjects, whether it's our finances, whether it's our relationships, whether it's how to deal with people, whether it's how we relate to him. We have so much more, but the key, he had very little compared to what we have as far as divine revelation, but what he had, he acted on. He didn't just study it and think about it. He trusted God and did it. And especially where the rubber meets the road is when you come to those junctures, when you come to that place in the cave and it feels like darkness and God has said, hey, will you trust me that my word will hold you, that I am here for you, I've got you. You know, as we got to the end of that trek, we went all the way through the cave. We'd been in there for about 3 hours. You're tired, ready to get out. I'll never forget, we came and the guide said, oh, we're coming to the last room. And so I'm like, great, where's the daylight? Let's get out of here. And we come into the last room and all we see is water and this stream going out. And so he hands us a packet and he said, here, you need to blow this up. And we said, what's it? Well, this is your raft. Now, I had pictured in my head, you know, a raft with some oars. You know, I'm going to get in a raft, fine. I can, you know, row myself out. And he goes, no, it's too tight for anything like that. We're going to swim out, but it's too cold for you just to swim. So it's kind of a little half raft. You'll lay on it and kind of be in the water kicking and go, really? And we blow it up and go, and you're kind of going down this tunnel in the water there, and it was so cold. And then we come, and again, I'm ready, where's the opening? And we just come to a wall. And he goes, all right, here's the final part. We got to swim out underwater. Are you serious? You know, I mean, but you have no choice at this. You're so many hours in. And so finally he said, yeah. And again, you're going to have to trust me. He says, when you go underwater, the water's so cold, everything in you is going to want to just come up immediately. But don't do that. You got to keep swimming because you got to get under the rock. And it's not as far as it looks. And then you'll see some light and we'll be there and we'll pull you on through. But you got to wait until you're out. Don't come up early. And again, he takes off and swims through. And then when it's your turn, that sense of, I remember taking the breath. And then when you went underwater, it was so cold. Everything in you is like, oh, I shouldn't be in this. I got to get out. But you had to trust enough to go, all right, keep swimming. Then you see light there suddenly, and it wasn't as far as probably I think it is in my mind. But it took an act of faith. Do I really believe this guy? Will this turn out the way he said? And I would say often in my Christian journey in life, that God will bring you to those places. It's part of how he makes us more like him. It's part of how he teaches us to trust in him. And if you're in one of those places right now, what he has said in your word, trust him. Faith is a part of all of life. I love how Warren Wiersbe puts it. He says, the people who jest about faith don't realize how big a part it plays in everyday affairs. It takes faith to get married because marriage vows are basically promises. It takes faith to send children off to school. It takes faith to get a prescription filled. It takes faith to eat in a restaurant, deposit money in a bank, sign a contract, drive on the highway, get on an airplane or an elevator. Faith isn't some kind of religious experience for the elite. It's the glue that helps hold people's lives together. Listen to this, I love how he puts it, but remember, faith is only as good as its object. If we trust people, we get what people can do. If we trust money, we get what money can do. If we trust ourselves, we get what we can do. But if we trust God, we get what God can do. And I think part of the reason God brings us to these faith tests is he wants us to know and to experience what only he can do. But you got to trust him. And you have to act on where he's spoken. Some of you, you're stuck. Because there's a part of God's word that you won't act on it. You know what he said, you just won't place your life under it. And maybe it's part of your relationships, and maybe it's part of your sex life, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's forgiving someone, maybe it's believing he can heal, in a marriage or a home. And you're at this place that you know what he said. I'm gonna just tell you, until you trust him, he's gonna bring you back to that place again and again. Because his word is always true. And he wants you to experience what only he can do. The second thing I would say is be patient though. Don't give up based on the immediate circumstances. I think this is where it's hard for us, especially in our culture today. We want everything immediately. And one of my biggest frustrations, one of my biggest pet peeves is some of the people who preach on faith the most, they preach like faith is this magic fix it. If you'll just have enough faith, oh, God's gonna fix your life right now. And you'll get what you want and this and that. And I hear that, and then I go back and read these Bible stories, and I look, and even where God's made a promise, sometimes it's years, sometimes decades. God is very patient in it. And as you look at it, these all died in faith. He's talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They were promised this land. God said, I'm gonna give you this great land and nation. But the whole time that Abraham walked around, and Isaac and Jacob. In fact, in Abraham's life, if you chart it, the only actual piece of land in the land of promise that he owned was a cave that he purchased to bury Sarah when she died. And yet the whole time he's walking around, he's believing God's good for his promise. God's good for what he's gonna do in this land. God's good what he's gonna do through my son in this nation. There was a patience that God was using it even when he's not getting all the things he wants. Abraham lived a good life, but it was a life where faith was always a journey, not a destination. And it wasn't just one stop on the journey. It was multiple stops of trusting God because God was using that process more than anything he could have given him. He was changing him. He was preparing him for a true home that he had for him, a true place in that. And I say that because some of you, you've been on this faith journey, you've been in a hard place, and some of you, you've been there for a long time. And at some point, you can start convincing yourself, has God forgotten about me? Or and you start kind of telling yourself, is this really worth it? One of the key principles of Scripture we don't teach enough is endurance, is perseverance. Paul said it in Romans 5. He said, we can rejoice even in the sufferings of this life because suffering produces endurance. And then endurance produces character, and then character produces hope. But you can't shortchange the process in it. See, so often we want God's plan to work according to our timeline. And anytime you try to force God's plan to your calendar, you miss the opportunity for him to fully shape your character. And that's what he wants to do, so that you can become more like him and experience him more through that. The third thing I would say is this, live looking forward. Don't let the familiar keep you from stepping out in faith. Anytime you kind of come to crossroads like that, man, everything around you, everything behind you, it's always interesting to me, the familiar has a gravitational pull that can keep us from stepping out. And sometimes we find ourselves where you're stuck looking back your whole life. You're stuck remembering. You're stuck looking at that. Some of the same things you were complaining about yesterday, you're now looking at going, oh, that was when it was really good. And there's a part of this where God's saying, no, man, look forward. Trust me. There's new in it. I love, he says, for people who speak thus, make it clear, they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, if they had kept thinking about Ur all the time, they would have had the opportunity to return. You know, at some point, year 10 in a tent, Sarah could look up and go, let's go back to Ur. Let's go back to our house. Let's go back to life there. But see, they had made this choice that they go, no, man, this is the life God's called us to. This is what's in front of us. And as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. What God was doing in them throughout the whole journey was creating in them a hunger for something even more than a place here. It was the place that only he could give in that. But it meant they had to look forward. They couldn't spend their whole life looking back. And I would encourage you in that. This can be one of the hardest principles because life itself will bring you to junctures. And what you're looking back or what he's leading you out of can be a good thing. It may be a part of life where God's leading you out of a job that you had that was a good job and it was a good season in it. Or he may be leading you out of your role at your job. You're no longer the star and you need to be mentoring the other people around you. Maybe leading you to a new place as a couple. As you start launching kids. You know, as a family, we're really excited. Next month, my son Drew's getting married. And we're so excited about the girl he's marrying and their season of life and what God's doing. But to be honest, for Lee and me, it's also bittersweet. We're excited for them, but it changes things in the relationship. Now, we want to launch them. Worst thing that we could do is, oh no, we got to hold on for our sake. But to launch what God has means you got to let go in new ways. I would encourage you, don't let the gravitational pull of what's been keep you from experiencing what God still has. And by the way, Abraham was 75 when he's starting the journey. So some of you, he's not done with you either. So quit writing yourself off. He still has faith steps ahead of you. I love how Kierkegaard puts it. He says, life can only be understood backwards. You only understand it. You connect the dots looking back, but it must be lived forwards. And that requires faith. Final thing I would say with you is just be encouraged. Be encouraged. Even though it's scary at parts, even though there's sacrifice in place, even though there's parts you don't understand, to be able to walk with God in this kind of life, in this kind of journey, I promise what he has for you, he is for you and he's preparing a place for you. He's for you in the journey. I love how it summarizes the Abraham-Sarah section, their family. Look at the summary verse in Hebrews 11. It says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. And that phrase, not ashamed, it's not that he struggled with being ashamed of them. It's actually a reverse idiom. What he's emphasizing here is God was proud of them. God claimed them. God looked at them as a couple and as those who stepped out and he goes, they're mine. Man, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my people. I can't wait. They left because they trusted me for a land here. Boy, I've got a city for them there though. I'm preparing a place for everyone who trusts me like that. God's not ashamed of them. And I love this line because if you track their story, they don't do a perfect faith journey. They make some royal mistakes along the way. But God's not ashamed of them. Because he knows in Christ, all of that's covered. But there's that part, and I'll just say this as a parent. You know, there's different things your kids step out and do and they succeed in life in ways and you find yourself, you're proud of them. I tell you the most I feel that is when I see any of my kids go through a hard time in life or I see them face something hard. I see something where they're gonna have to step out in a new way or they're gonna have to stretch and they've trusted and they believe and they step into the hard thing. Even if they don't succeed at it, every time they do it, there's a part of me, I look at them and go, oh, that's mine. That's my son. That's my daughter. Just something in you go, yes. And I love, that's how God describes this couple. That's how he describes people on a faith journey. And I love that he says, I'm not ashamed, because when I think about my faith journey, guys, hear me, I can look back on my faith journey and there's several things that if I was God, I'd be ashamed of it. I'd want to pull back from me. But that's where grace of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ, that God was willing to sacrifice his son in a way he didn't ask anyone else, that his grace and his sacrifice covers every mistake on my faith journey. So that when God looks at my life, and especially those points where I'll trust him. Doesn't have to be perfect faith. But he goes, that's my son. That's my daughter. And on this journey, you can trust that he's preparing a place beyond all of our imagination. He's preparing a city and a home and a country for people who went on journey with him, and they're long journeys, by the way. They're lifetime journeys. But on the journey, you know what he's doing every stop along the way? He's changing us to be more like him. And he's preparing us and preparing where we're gonna be for an eternity with him. And I love when that day comes. You know, the Apostle Paul said there's faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these, though, is love. And why would he say that? Because it's the only one that's gonna remain, actually. The day will come in eternity when you're with Jesus, you won't need faith anymore. It'll all be sight. You'll get to see not only what he's doing, but what he's been doing all along. One day when we stand before Jesus, I don't have to live in hope, because every hope will be fulfilled there. You know what remains at that point? Love. Perfect love. And so a God who's prepared that for us, a God who's promised to walk with us, a God who watches us, and when we trust him, even when we make mistakes, but we trust him and step out in it. I don't have to step out in faith to earn his grace. But when I step out in it, I start understanding it and experiencing it that much more. Don't know where you are today, but I gotta believe in a room this size, there's a lot of people that God's asking you to trust him. God's asking you to step out. God's asking you to be patient. He's working. God's asking you that instead of looking back of what was, trust him for what we know eternally will be, and what he can do on the journey, even in front of you here. Faith. Faith. Because he is true to his word. He will always be true to his word. And he will always be that hand when you swing your body out, when you trust him, when you go under the water, when you come to that place, I promise, he is always the one who reaches and has you, and you can trust in him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. I thank you for Abraham and Sarah. I thank you for couples like this, who charted a journey that just jaw-dropping in ways, the way they trusted you. Lord, I pray that you would, just today, there's people sitting in this room and they wanna hear your voice. I pray they'd hear you. Lord, I pray that people would obey your word where you have spoken clearly, that they would trust you in it. Lord, I pray for those who feel like they're maybe in the darkness right now and they've been there for a while. Lord, I pray that you would bring along your church and people and voices in their life, but more than anything, I pray they'd hear you and know that you're near. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what Christ alone accomplished for us. We thank you for his sacrifice, that even though we walk by faith, we live under grace. You are the initiator. You have been so good to us. And so even as we conclude today, we just praise you with hearts of gratitude for all that you've done. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you in your journey of faith. To keep up with the latest messages and what's happening, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and visit venture.cc.